this morning. We bless you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Glad for each one here this morning. I want to welcome you. Pray that you can receive from God this morning. Something I noticed when Marcus was reading this morning in Exodus chapter 17 about Moses striking the rock, something I don't know if I ever really caught that well before, but God said, "You come and strike the rock, and I am going to stand on the rock in front of you. I'm going to be there." And that was the first time, and that's why when Moses went the next time to speak to the rock and was supposed to speak to the rock, and when he struck the rock twice, that's why he was not able to enter the promised land, because that rock, our rock, the name that we just sang about, the Lord Jesus Christ, cannot be smitten twice. He was smitten once, and we'll talk about that some more. Thank you for those songs, Aaron. Number 318 that we sang this morning, we said some pretty powerful words, and I wonder if we thought about what we said. Not what these hands have done can save this guilty soul. Not what this toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. Not what I feel or do can give me peace with God. Not all my prayers or sighs or tears can ease my awful load. It's your love to me, O God. It's not mine to you. That's what. That's what can set me free. Then we can call him his, and he'll call us. We can call him ours, and he can call us his. And we can enjoy his blessing. I thought that was so meaningful. I've been sharing with us a number of things for which I need Jesus. This morning I want to share, this is going to be a two-part message. I'm not going to get the whole message done this morning, but I want to start here. I need Jesus because I need redemption and reconciliation. And that's what that song was talking about. We need that. And so we want to think about that this morning. Not happening. So we want to ask ourselves some questions this morning again, the way we normally start here. What is redemption? There we go. Thank you. Got a picture of a slave there. It's a statue of a slave that his chains have been broken. He has the opportunity of freedom. But what is redemption? Do I need redemption? I think this is a crucial question for us. And I think it's a question that we don't think about enough. It's something where we've been kind of grown up in Christian America, and we think about, God's work and the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross. We think about these things, but we, you know, I'm not really that bad. I've never done drugs. I've never whatever. And I do this and I do that. And so do I really need redemption? And why? And then also, what about reconciliation? What is it? Do I need that? What is this all about? What are we talking about this morning? Why do I need these two things, redemption and reconciliation? And then, how badly do I need them? Really? This is something I want us to think about this morning. How badly do I need redemption and reconciliation? Redeemed has the idea, there's actually about three parts to the meaning of redemption. Redemption can simply be a purchase. It has that meaning. We don't think of it in that way real often, but we normally think of it as the idea of the kinsman redeemer. And a while back I had gone into the book of Ruth and looked at that, and we're not going to focus exactly on that this morning, but I want us to be aware of that, where someone, because of circumstances, because of situations in life, found themselves in a place where they needed someone to do something for them. And it was called a kinsman redeemer. It was only a specific person or persons that could do that. And the procedure was laid out by God back in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, back in there where He laid all of these things out. And when you read the book of Ruth, that's what you're seeing happening there. So if you want to listen to that, you can go back into our archives and find that message. The other part of redeemed is the price of freedom or deliverance. So redemption has this idea as well, that there's freedom, that there's deliverance there. The idea of reconciliation or being reconciled is the idea of relationships being restored. And so that's the basic concepts that we're talking about in this time. Now, I want us to start here this morning because this is where redemption starts. We have been sold. Every one of us has been or are being sold. And I want us to get this picture from the Scriptures, Romans chapter 7, verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now, how many of you made a deal where you said, okay, I'm going to sell myself to sin and I'm going to receive a benefit for that? That's not how it works, is it? But we're sold under sin. That's where we start. We are sold under sin. That's where we are as human creatures. And we need to recognize that even as religious human creatures, we are sold under sin. Paul is talking about this from a religious standpoint. He said, the law is spiritual. I'm carnal. I'm sold under sin. And God uses these terms to describe several situations here. We'll look at a few of them. 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 20. Ahab was at the end of the time of drought. He was out looking for Elijah. And Elijah found Ahab's servant and he said, tell Ahab to come here. I got a word for him. And his servant said, man, you're trying to get me killed? He said, I know what'll happen. I'll go tell Ahab where you are, and the Spirit will take you somewhere else, and he'll come and you're not there, and he'll kill me. And Elijah said, no. You tell him to come here. I'll be here. And he came. And Ahab said to Elijah, have you found me, O mine enemy? And Elijah answered, I have found you, because you have sold yourself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. You've sold yourself. Again, Ahab didn't sit down somewhere and make this deal where he got so much money and he decided to do evil. But that's the term that God uses to describe this. You've sold yourself to do evil. So we are sold under sin. Ahab sold himself to do evil. Isaiah 50 verse 1, the Lord says, where's the bill of your mother's divorcement whom I put away? Or which of your creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities you have sold yourselves, and for your transgressions your mother is put away. So he says, I didn't sell you as a creditor sells someone. You remember the story of Elisha? The widow that had the two sons. And she came pleading with Elisha. She said, what am I going to do? I have my two sons. My husband died. And I have these debts. And these guys are coming. If I don't come up with some money, these guys are coming and they're taking my sons to pay for it. That's the kind of thing he's talking about here. To which of your creditors have I sold you? That was common in the times of the Jews, times of Israel. They got themselves into a bad situation, and they would sell either themselves, their children, part of their inheritance. They would sell something to get themselves out of that situation. And that could be redeemed. There was always the hope that there was someone who would come along and redeem them from that situation, would purchase their freedom, would pay that price and give them back their opportunities. And that's what the woman there with Elisha was talking about. These creditors came. They were owed money. And they were coming and they were taking the children as payment. You stop and think about that a minute. What would that be like? You don't have any money. You owe the bill. And the guy that you owe it to shows up and says, pay it by tomorrow, or I'm coming, and everything that you have is mine. All of it. Your children, anything. Whatever it takes to pay this bill. Isaiah 52, verse 3. Thus says the Lord, you have sold yourselves for nothing. You have sold yourselves for nothing. And you'll be redeemed without money. Two sides to this coin. Beautiful picture here. Beautiful picture. You've sold yourselves for nothing. So we start out with this idea that we're sold. I owed a debt I could not pay. The debt of sin. The debt to God. And so we want to get that picture clear in our minds. Is there anyone here who has not been sold. No. We're all sold under sin. We all owe a debt that we cannot pay. How are we going to pay our debt to God? The psalmist said, "Shall I give my firstborn?" Maybe God will accept. If I give him my firstborn son, will God accept that? No. That won't satisfy the debt that I owe to God. I'm sold. And because of that sale, I have a debt that has to be repaid. And because of that debt, I am sold as well. All right. Transgressing the law demands judgment or redemption. This is an interesting scripture here in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. It's talking about Christ. "For this cause, he's the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death," it's talking about Christ's death, "for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the law," the First Testament, "they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." He's saying that all of mankind, those under the Jews under the First Testament, under the law, were in debt because of transgressions. They were sold because of their transgressions. And there's only one way for that to be settled. And that's for the blood of Jesus Christ to be shed so that they can experience redemption. And so you look at that verse and you understand that's how those who walk by faith under the old covenant received redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I want us to notice a number of things that the scriptures talk about us being redeemed from. This is Jacob in Genesis chapter 48, verse 16. Joseph brings his two sons to Jacob. And he says, "I want you to bless my sons, Dad." And Jacob lays his hands on the sons and he starts to bless them. And he says, "The angel which redeemed me from all evil bless the lads." You notice that angel there is capitalized. That's talking about Jesus Christ himself. "The angel which redeemed me from all evil." Now, we don't have time, but I'd like to challenge you. Stop and think about Jacob's life. What's Jacob talking about from all evil? Is he talking about all the bad things that happened to him? Yeah. Is he talking about his own evil? Probably. "The angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads." He had come to a place where he had experienced redemption on his life. Redemption from all evil. Redeemed from bondage. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 15. "The Lord over and over reminded the children of Israel, you were in bondage in Egypt. You were slaves. You had chains." Not literally did they have chains, but they had chains on them. For hundreds of years, they had those chains on them. He says, "You remember, you were a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Because of that, you're to do this thing today." And related to their feast and so on. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 23. "What one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. So God redeemed the nation, the people of Israel, from bondage. He gave them deliverance and freedom from their bondage. Now, I hope you're paying attention here, because these things happened to them for our examples, right? That's what Paul tells us. These things happened to them for our examples. So God is there to redeem us from evil. And that means that he's able to redeem all the bad things that have happened to us, and he's also able to redeem all the bad things that we've done. He's able to redeem us from bondage. What kind of bondage? What kind are you in? Bondage to yourself? Bondage to your flesh? Bondage to whatever? He is able to redeem us from bondage. He redeemed us from destruction. Psalm 103, verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? He redeems us from the enemy. Psalm 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. As children of Jesus Christ today, sons and daughters of God, we have been redeemed from the enemy. We have authority over the enemy. And we can walk in victory. We can walk in that redemption. We can walk in freedom. It's been paid for. It's been given to us. The enemy is there to kill and to steal and to destroy. But our Redeemer delivers us from that. So I want you to think about these things. We are redeemed by great power. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 10. These are thy servants, and these are thy people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. Humanly speaking, it would be possible for us to be redeemed or rescued or delivered or set free by someone only to find ourselves taken by another stronger enemy, humanly speaking. But when we're delivered, when we're redeemed by the strong hand of God and by His great power, there's nothing else that's going to come and take it away. There's nothing that can touch it. Nothing that can come close. So I want us to remember that. We're redeemed by the great power of God. And if you look at the situation here with Nehemiah, it was amazing what God did to redeem His people. We are redeemed to be His. The purpose of God's redemption is not to set us free to be ourselves and to live for ourselves, but the purpose of His redemption is to set us free to be His. Isaiah 43:1. Now saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. You are mine. You're mine. And you read about this in Revelation. He's given us a new name. We have a name that God has called us by. We're His. We belong to Him. We're no longer our own. We're bought with a price. We've been redeemed. We've been set free. We're redeemed to joy. Isaiah 51, verse 11. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. I need Jesus because I need joy. And the way I receive joy is through His redemption. And as we experience that redemption, then we share that. We can't help but share. Do you happen to notice when someone has joy? Do you notice that? Usually stands out, doesn't it? Especially in our world. When the Lord has redeemed us, He pours out on our heads everlasting joy. Everlasting joy. Do I need redemption? Yeah. Because I need joy. They'll obtain, they'll receive gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. We often take this and refer to it as a prophetic statement, which it is somewhat, but I think it also is for here and now. Somewhere, I think it was John Piper, I'd run across an article that he had. And he said, joy is the main thing that God gives us in salvation. I've thought a lot about that. And I've looked at my own heart. How much joy do I have? How much joy do I display? How much joy has been poured out on me? And what's happening with that? We're redeemed because of love and mercy. God told Israel, I didn't choose you. I didn't redeem you because you're so smart, because you're so beautiful, because you have what I need. None of that. Psalm 130, verse 7. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him there is plenteous redemption. Now, what that's saying is, God's redemption doesn't run out. Just like His mercy. His mercies are new every morning. They're there. His redemption is there for us. We only have to come and receive it. Not what these hands have done, but what You've done, Lord Jesus, in shedding Your blood for us. Redeemed. We're a redeemed people. And this is when John the Baptist was born, and then Jesus Christ, Luke chapter 1, verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He hath visited and redeemed His people. 400 years, they had not heard a word from God. Nothing. Nothing. And now Jesus comes. And they say, blessed be God. He's visited and He's redeemed His people. Redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Jesus Christ, by His own blood, obtained eternal redemption for us. and gives it to us. Makes it available to us. And then Peter, I love these verses. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. It's not some deal where we owed this big debt and somebody came up with some money and paid our release, as beautiful as that is. It's not with silver and gold, not with stuff. From your vain conversation, that place where we were sold, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Redeemed with the precious blood. When I read these verses, I always think, here was Peter. He's writing along. He says, no, you weren't redeemed with corruptible things, silver and gold, but with the precious blood. And I can just picture on that page where he was writing, it was teardrops. Talk about redemption. Peter stood there and he cursed. He said, I don't even know the man. And here he is writing about that redemption by the precious blood of Christ. That blood that he saw running down there on the cross. Beautiful, beautiful. Redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Here's a few more verses regarding that. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Why do I need Jesus? Because that's what he is for me. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I need Jesus. Amen. I'm going to stop there this morning. I hope that as we look at that, as we consider, there's more here to think about redemption, and we'll look at that at a later time. But I just want us to think about carnal, sold under sin, sold yourself to do evil. You were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Through him, we become sons and daughters of God. Through him, our sins are forgiven and washed white as snow. Through him, we've obtained eternal redemption. Through him. I need Jesus. Let's stand for prayer. Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you for the great plan of salvation. We thank you for your heart of mercy that reaches out to us, even when we've sold ourselves under sin. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for laying down your life, for shedding your blood for our redemption, so that we can be redeemed, so that we can be reconciled, so that we can be sons and daughters of God, and we can experience everlasting joy, that we can experience your presence, that we can be called by a new name, that we can be yours. We thank you, and we pray that you continue to work in our hearts that redemption, dear Father, for your glory. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.